Wow. Sure is good to be here again. We had quite a trip, and I'm going to share some of that about with you about what happened there in Sicily. I'm really thankful. If you want to put the first slide up there, I just put. Why Sicily? That's the PDS Church, which is the Italian name for the Word of Salvation Church in Catania, Sicily. I said a long time ago to God, I said, Lord, when we came here, I said, Lord, give us hard places to go. Don't give us easy places to go and preach the gospel. Let's go and see some. Let's see some dark places, some hard places, and let's go there. And so, he's been really faithful. And so, we went to Sicily. Father, I just pray right now for this word. I pray that this would encourage us. That this church would understand that. That its roots are here in Richmond, but they travel all over the world. They are in China, they're in India, they're in the Philippines, they're in Sri Lanka, they're in India, they're everywhere. God, just name a place, and we have connections somehow, either in ministry or through family. And so we want to bring the gospel to the people in this world, and we've been given that great opportunity to do that. And so thank you for what we have here, but thank you that this is just a tool to reach out there. And we are here, and it's great. It's great to come back and have fellowship with the family, but this is just part of the family. There's a family all over the world that's waiting to be encouraged and to be blessed and to be supported by us. And so I thank you for that opportunity. I thank you for being here this morning again and sensing the love and the encouragement and the anointing and on the worship. I just really want to thank you for that, Lord. We give you praise. Amen. That little bit of, little bit of jet lag, so you get up at 4 in the morning. It's better because we got up at 3 in the morning the first night back, so we're getting better. We'll be sleeping right through pretty soon. Elaine and I left here on the 22nd of March, and we went to Rome. And I need to tell you that we went to Rome because we could change planes in Rome, and then before we went to Catania, so we thought we'd take a few holidays and just walk around Rome. And that was good. We'd never been to Rome. We did change planes there one time, but this time we got a hotel we didn't even know. Like, you go on the internet and find a hotel, and you know what? The hotels on the internet are way better than the ones that you rent off the internet. It's really surprising. It wasn't too bad, and it was in kind of a shady area. It was pretty shady. But it was a real good experience. And so the first night we got there, and we got there in the morning, so we thought, well, we'd just sleep a little while. So we got to sleep, and then we got up, and then we had to go to explore, you know, because we didn't know where we were. We had maps and stuff like that. And so off we went towards somewhere. And we thought, well, there's a place called Wanted. That's an Italian name for a restaurant, Wanted. And I'm not sure. Maybe they were all wanted at one time or something like that. Anyways, we went in there and we had this wonderful meal. And I paid for it with my credit card. And then we walked down. And the Colosseum was right within like 10-minute walk. So we walked down. And I met this one guy selling things, and we talked for a while, and we went down from there, and looked at the Colosseum, and I put my hand in my pocket, and my credit card was gone. And the first thing all over Rome is watch for pickpockets. So I know who he was. First, I wanted to beat him to a pulp. Then I. Yes, maybe that's a Sicilian blood was coming out in me. I don't know. But then I thought, I just hope that he gets caught and put in jail. And then I thought how stupid I was to not follow the rules. Like, never put the thing back in my money belt and all that kind of stuff. So we canceled the card, and Elaine had another card on that same account, so we're okay. And then we just kind of walked around. We could walk everywhere. We could walk to the Vatican. We could walk to the Pantheon, and we could walk to all the sites that were around there. So, like, we walked 28 miles in 3 days. So that means you can eat more pasta. That's the way we worked it. So we never went into the Vatican. We didn't go into the Basilica. We didn't go into a lot of the things that cost a lot of money and you have to wait in long lines. But we just went to the places that were there. And then we went to some places that were actually not, you know, it didn't cost you anything, which were kind of interesting as well. And so we went to this one place. It was the Jewish ghetto, and that's right across the river from the Vatican. And some of you may have been there. And it was before the diaspora, when the Jews were all dispersed. They moved to Rome, and they were well respected business people and architects and all sorts of things. And then the persecution came. And they had this place, it was a ghetto, and it was like a small area, and there was like 7,000 or 8,000 people crammed in this. River would come up and flood the place. It was just a mess. It was a horrible place to live. You can walk through there and get the history, and during the Second World War, they took a bunch of them into the concentration camp, and it was just a horrible, horrible situation. But they survived. The Jewish people are resilient. And they survived, and they're still there. And there's this little bakery, and you would not believe it's a bakery. I may be guessing it'd be 100 square feet, 110 square feet, and they make 5 things. That's all they make, and they seem to burn all 5 of them when I went in, and they've been doing this for 200 years, and there's no advertising on there. There's nothing. It's just that you know that it's a bakery, and if you want to buy some nice burnt things. But this one family's been running it for 200 years. We just sense the excitement of being there in a place where Paul was, where Peter was. We walked, and some of those scenes and some of those sights they would have seen. And we just felt that was really rich. And so on Friday, like 3 or 4 days later, we jumped on a plane and went to Catania. Catania is one of the cities in Italy, or in Sicily. You don't want to get those two mixed up, because Sicilians are not Italians. Well, they are Italians, but the Italians are not Sicilians, and so it's kind of like, you know, they're the kind of country bumpkin kind of people that, so I fit right in. Its population is 350,000. 90,000 of them live in Labrino. Labrino is a very, very difficult area. There's about a 65 to 70% unemployment rate there. And so this is a really rough area, and lots of crime, lots of drugs, and lots of people. And there's no welfare there. It's basically you survive, you learn to survive. And so we kind of arrived there, and it was that first night. excuse me. We got to preach right away, and then from then on, I preached twice a day, or I taught Bible college twice a day, and then on Saturday taught a whole seminar on Bible college. There's an interesting story, and Nicola, who's the pastor of this church, this PDS church. He was a police chief in Catania, and he was actually head of the anti-mafia squad. Now, there's a lot of mafia influence there, and so we got to meet a lot of mafia bosses, and a lot of them converted to Christ, which is really awesome because some of their stories are pretty heavy duty. So Nicola came to Christ. And God said, Nicola, I want you to plant a church in Labrino. And he said, that's not going to work because I've either shot and killed a lot of people there or arrested them and they're in prison. He says, I wouldn't last 10 minutes there as a pastor. And God says, I want you there. And he says, I don't want to be there. And so they had this little argument, and then he said, okay, God broke his heart for the people in Lubrino. And so he started a little church with about 10 people in an area right in the middle of the ghetto of Lubrino, and it was a former warehouse where they used to hide drugs and the guns when they're doing their crimes. And so God, the city gave them this building to begin build a church, and so now he has 500 people that come to this church, and it's rocking. It's rocking. This church is rocking. And we are so excited to be a part of this church. We preach there. Since he started that church in 1997, they planted two churches. They started two missions. They started a Bible college, started a publishing company, and sent missionaries all over Europe. And there's no paid pastors. Nobody gets a salary there because there's no work for anyone. And so we have all these young men who work in both the churches, all three of the churches actually, and they do it from their heart. They work, they either own a business or they work for someone if they can find a job, and they just are committed to doing the work in Lubrino, and people are getting saved, people are getting healed, people are getting filled with the Holy Spirit. People are just, God is doing miracles in this, in the midst of this. They have young people. They have, it's rocking wild music. I mean, it's the same songs that we sing, but you try to sing them in English when they're all singing them in Italian. It's just like I try really hard and I can't, and so I just sing in tongues. That works. There's a couple of picture there is this is Pastor Nicola in the gray, and that's Giorgio. He's not a guard for Pastor Nicola, but he just likes camouflage. So he wants to wear that. That's taken in a place called Torremina, which is a really beautiful resort. It's right up on the rocks, like thousands of feet above the ocean, and you look down and it's just spectacular. So they took us out there to show us what that was like. Pastor Nicola's, he's been in this church now for 27 years or something, 22 years. And he started this church by borrowing $85,000 U.S. back in 1997 to restore or to renovate this building and furnish it. He did that on his own. And now I'll show you at the end of this, the new building that we helped give money to that is in one of the other areas up by Mount Etna. It was so exciting to be there with them because they just have this focus on souls. Just a focus on souls. They're committed to doing stuff and going to meetings and going like just this family. It's like everybody's connected, and I just felt so much like at home because that's the way I feel here, is that we have this connection, that family is here, and we get along really well in worship, and we get along really well with each other. And so I really felt at home there. And of course, I'm Sicilian, as you can see these hands. They say if you hold my hands, I won't be able to talk. Because the best part is we'd go out for dinner because you'd go out for dinner after a meeting. So you'd go out at 10:30 at night for dinner. You go to somebody's house and then you'd stay there till 12, or you'd go out to a restaurant and you'd stay there till 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning. And you're sitting with a whole bunch of Italians and they're drinking wine and drinking beer and they're eating like a 7-course meal. Mamma mia. It's just like everything is absolutely unbelievable. A pasta, we had pasta every day. You could have twice a day. We had to back off because we're just getting, we could get just filled right up. So I want, maybe some of you are saying, why Sicily? Why Sicily, Pastor Jim? And I do have roots there. I have roots with my family. But I wanted to go to the hard places. And Librino is a hard place. Sicily is a hard place. Italy's a hard place. It's got a strong Catholic influence, obviously. It's got a very strong Pentecostal influence, but it's more of a rigid legalistic type. And so people are there hungry for the moving of the Holy Spirit. That's what they're hungry for. And young people are hungry for that. And it's so exciting to see young people on fire for Jesus. So I want to talk to you, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I just want to read some scripture because, you know, I think about communion this morning. I think about what God did already. I think about this big, beautiful backdrop here that Daniel did. That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. But it's something that should be written in our hearts all the time. He is risen. He is risen. It's not a religion. We serve a living God, and he is risen, but he's also living inside of us. And he has given us this opportunity to go forth into the world and preach the gospel. And so here's what it says. Verse 6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light and the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. So when he said, let there be light in the darkness, then when Christ came, he said, let there be light in your darkness. Let there be light in your darkness, and may you take that light into this world. And he goes on to say this, but we have this treasure in jars of clay, fragile jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Hey, we get to be carriers, right? We get to be carriers, and we're fragile carriers, so we have to be careful, because inside of us is not just some mud or some dirt or some water. It is a treasure. It's the most valuable thing in this whole universe. It's the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, and we have that opportunity. And then Paul says this, because he's experienced it, we're hard-pressed on every side, not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. You know what? It's a spiritual battle, and you're going to get in a battle. If you've ever been in a street fight, you know that you're not going to win, even if you're the toughest. You're going to get some, probably teeth missing or skin missing somewhere, or a black eye or a broken jaw or something, because the people that are coming against you are pretty tough too. We're in this battle. And Paul said this. Paul said that we're going to have all this, but we're not going to be defeated. So he says, we always carry around in us the body of the death of Christ so that the life of Christ may be revealed in our body. Don't you love that? He didn't say, we bring the life of Christ, but then the death of Christ is also revealed. It's first the death, then the life. We have to die to ourselves. We have to die to ourselves and allow Christ to live inside of us, and then we will live to Christ. We'll be dead to sin. And so if we're going to go into this the way God wants us to, we got to know that we're going into darkness. And if we're going into darkness, we need to know that we're going to probably bang our heads, or somebody's going to bang our heads in there. But we are going to shine the light in the darkness. And that's what Nicola and his church do. They shine the light in Librino. We had this great service. It was wonderful. Second night out, it was the third sermon already I was preaching. We just had an altar call. And I don't usually do this, have people stand up to make a decision for Christ. But I just said, I just really feel you should stand up. And And I have a translator. And so I'm looking at the congregation, and they're all tracking with me. So I forget that he's supposed to translate because I think they understand. They haven't got a clue what I'm saying. And so they're all engaged, and I'm happy. And he goes and he taps me and he says, I need to be able to translate something here. So I gave him about 8 paragraphs to try to mesh together. So anyways, I said, if you never accepted Christ, I want you to stand up. And 8 people stood up. If you've made a decision for Christ years ago, but you've fallen away and you're here tonight, God wants you to recommit your life. And another 7 or 8 people stood up. And then people got prayed for healing. And the altar was full. And it was just wonderful. And then somebody came to me and said, Pastor, your sermon affected one of the ladies, one of the young ladies, and she's manifesting a demon out in the parking lot. And she was. We went out there, and there was 6 guys. I was one of them trying to hold her down because she was just writhing and swearing, and she spit in my face twice. She spit in Elaine's face. She spit on my new jacket. They get it dry cleaned. She kicked everybody and everything she could. She bit. She tried to bite me 4 or 5 times. It was really a strong, strong demonic influence in her life. And we worked with her. It was interesting because of the language barrier. We worked with her. Elaine and I worked with her probably for about 35 minutes and then 40 minutes. And then the team took over and we went. But she she got some relief. But there's so much stuff inside of her that they had to continue on working with her at another time. That's what Paul's saying about this here, is you're in a battle and this is the kind of stuff. We want to see this kind of stuff. I'll tell you right now, I want to see this happen. I want to see people get set free. I want to see people healed and saved. You know what? I love coming to church. I love singing. I love the potlucks. I love all that kind of stuff. I love the fellowship. I love the hugs. When I first came home, I had that Italian Sicilian kiss everybody on both cheeks. And that's really not a big thing here. I could tell which ones wasn't a big thing for, because they were going like, hey, back off. But everyone you kiss both cheeks and then you hug them. And it's just really kind of a warm place to be. But we have this opportunity in these earthen vessels to bring the light. And I think about the earthen vessels and what happened in the Old Testament when that's all they had. They went into battle and they had a trumpet and they had a clay vessel with a candle in it or light in it. And that's who we are. We got the trumpet of the Lord, we got the word of God, and we can go in there, and you know what? They got to take the lid off at least, but maybe your vessel will get broken before your light comes out to this world. In Luke chapter 9, it says this: when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all the demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. All authority. You've heard me say this over and over again. I believe it's true. All authority. He's given us all authority to cure all diseases. And then he sent them out. We're not supposed to stay here. We're supposed to go out. All of us. Well, I can't go to Sicily. I don't have the money. I can't go. You can go anywhere God calls you to go. I'll tell you that right now. Do you believe me? You just have to be obedient. You just have to be obedient. And maybe it isn't Sicily. Maybe it isn't your home country. Maybe it's Alberta. Maybe it's just downtown Richmond here. Maybe it's your neighborhood. But he is calling you to go. So the worship services were amazing. And I believe that worship is really important. And I really appreciate the worship in this church. So all these guys are up on a platform about the third of this size here. And they're just giving it. And the girl in the pink, her name's Mary Caruso. So I feel this, like I met all these family people here. One of the one of the most interesting ones was Elaine and I went out for dinner, and we went with this, they said there's going to be a businessman there, and but he didn't tell me his name. So I sat down beside him. He's about 42 years old and owns a trucking company, distributes chemicals all over Europe, and then picks up, waste chemicals. And so he's got this big company, and there's a whole bunch of Italians sitting at the table, and they all have those different kind of Italian voices, you know, and we're all eating pasta, and we're all eating cannolis, and we're all eating everything. Like, it's just like, and it's the wine's flowing with them and everything. And so I said to him, I says, "Hey, what's your name?" And he says, "Marco Caruso." I said, "My name's Jim Caruso." Oh, it was just like, hey, we knew each other when we were kids. And now I don't even know whether we're related. I think Caruso's like Smith or Jones in Canada here. But anyways, I took it. So after this great meal, after this great fellowship, he says, "Hey, I'll give you a ride home." And so I said, "Okay." So we go out there, and he's got a Maserati. Oh, mamma mia, the Italians make good cars. So that's a family. We taught Bible college there. Can you imagine your pastor teaching hermeneutics to Italians with a translator? It was really good. This is our evening class, and what they do is they will write. I gave them an exam to do. They will write. I'm just like the rest of those professors. Caleb, they got till the end of the month, and they will write it in Italian. Of course, I can't read it in Italian, so Giorgio, my translator, we'll get on WhatsApp, and he'll read me their read me their paper, and I'll grade it from here. It's really good. And then in the morning class, we had it's all women, we did that 4 hours for 4 days. The evening class, we did 3 hours for 3 days. And then on Saturday, we did a full-time seminar for anyone who wanted to come. Maybe the next video or the next picture here shows one of the missions. And what it is it's out in the middle of nowhere. Honestly, it's like 30 miles from Catania, or actually up on the Mount Etna area, and it's a dance studio, but there's nothing around it, and they have, I don't know how they have this dance studio, little community that kind of, like really rural, but they've connected with the person there, and she became a Christian, and so she said, use my dance studio for a church, and so they have like 40, 50 people come out in the middle of nowhere. And there's not well-lit lights for the parking lot or entranceways. It's black. It's dark. You just kind of fumble your way along. And so I was asked to go out and preach. Like, can you come out and preach or teach from 5 to 6:30? And then we'll have a service at 7. I said, sure. So at 6:30, I finished. And I was talking with my translator, and I says, "Oh, who's preaching tonight?" And he said, "You are." And I already preached twice that day, so yeah, you are. So you just get ready to preach all the time, and I didn't use the same sermon over. It'd been really easy, but I didn't. I just asked God for new stuff, and the the people we stayed with, they had a beautiful home, and. And so we're sitting outside, and under the lemon tree, they grow lemon trees there. Beautiful lemons. They got two kinds of lemons. I didn't know this. There's one kind that we use here in Canada for all our drinks and stuff, and then there's this big one that you carve, and you can eat it like an orange. And it's really good. I eat one every morning. And so I'm sitting out there, and I said to him, I says, "You know, you have a beautiful yard here." And I didn't have a translator, so Google Translate. So I go, "You have a beautiful yard here. Did you do it yourself?" Google translated me talking to this guy, "You have beautiful hair. Did you do it yourself?" It's not really a good social thing to do. We really laughed, though. And then there was some translations that came out about Pink Floyd, and like, how does that happen? I don't know. Google's not that great for if you're, I trusted Giorgio more. And then Lane did a lot of ministry over there as well. She's preaching here with an interpreter to a bunch of ladies. She did a couple of meetings like that, and God just really moved through her and challenged a lot of people in that area. So I want to just give you an update on the building here. If you'll see that it's all got scaffolding on it right now. It's about the same size square footage as our building, three floors. They just have offerings. They don't have any kind of, you know, group that they have support them. And so they've raised about 450,000 euro. And it probably will cost them 800,000 euro to do this building, complete it. So maybe $1.4 million and they can do a beautiful concrete building completely furnished and everything, the same size as our building. We can't do that here. This is a wonderful building. You can see in the inside just the architecture and everything. It's going to be all the floors are tiled and they got some soundboards in there and stuff like that. But that's the sanctuary will seat 500 people. And they're really close to getting this done. They should have it done maybe in August. It's also a refugee center for the refugees that are coming into Italy. And there's a lot of contention about that. They're also building rooms for seniors because there's nothing there for seniors. Nothing. You just stay at home with your family or you just live out on the street when you get old. And so they have rooms for the seniors and elderly people. And they have a kitchen there. They can feed 350 people. So they're going to reach out into their neighborhood. And they also have a place for pastors to come, teams to come. And they want our church to send teams. They want us to go. Some of you as adults, we need you to come. Some of you, Pastor Caleb, and your teens, your youth, to come over there and do ministry. Pastor Crystal with the youth, with the children's ministries. We have this opportunity to come and connect in to their church. They have connected with us. We are connected with them as a church-to-church kind of thing. And I love Pastor Nicola's ministry. He's a real shepherd. And so we feel that we really have an interesting connection. So why Sicily? I believe that God has called us to the dark places, the hard places. There's other ones around. We're working on being able to connect into the Philippines this year as a major project. We're working with the Filipino group. Pastor Tim is working with them. We would like to reach out in so many different ways, and I believe we're going to. We're just going to see that open right up. So we thank you for allowing us to go. We took with us 500 euros. You didn't pay anything for Elaine and I when we were in Rome. I want you to know that. It was us paying that. But when we went to ministry in Sicily, we took that 500 euros and we gave that to some of the churches and offerings. Like that's kind of what we did. Because they looked after everything. They looked after all our meals. Elaine went to buy some groceries and different things and they paid for them. They wouldn't let her buy anything. They just kept, and they don't have a salary. Pastor Nicola has a pension from the police, but they don't have a salary. And so we took this 500 euros and I gave 100 euros to my translator because he has a small business that is just kind of getting off the ground and it's not paying really well. And then we gave 150 euros to the couple that kept us for two full weeks and fed us and transported us all over the place. And so we gave that. And when we left the second to last day, they gave us an envelope with 1,200 euros in it. Like out of a church that doesn't really have a lot of money or any money. And so the next day I said, thank you so much. We received that. But now we want to give it back into your ministry because we don't, that's not why we came. We came to minister and to be a blessing to you. And so we want to give that back. And so we are able to seed that, your money back into, because that money would have come back here and we would have put it back in missions, but we were able to just seed it back into Catania, into the ministry of PDS. I want you to know that I appreciate, as your pastor, the way that you give to missions, to the cake walk, to that. You're investing in people's lives. You're investing in the darkness so it becomes light. And so this morning, I just want to thank you, each one of you, for that ministry opportunity that we had. But I believe that it's going to further the kingdom. Many souls came to Christ while we were there. That was exciting. People were healed. People were set free. People, the last meeting we had there, we had prayer for baptism of the Holy Spirit, and 45 to 50 people came up for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and stood there for over half an hour worshiping and praising God. It's just, there's a hunger there, and there's such great opportunity. So we just want to thank you for that. We want to thank you for what is happening here in Richmond and what's happening from here out of Richmond. And so if you all stand, maybe have the worship team come back. As they're coming, I just want to ask a couple of things. One is, the most important thing that you could ever do would be to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you're here and you haven't done that, and maybe you have just kind of even wondered what that's all about. We celebrated the crucifixion and the resurrection this morning through the blood of Christ in the communion. Christ died that we might live. Christ died so you might live. And so this morning, I'm going to ask you to pray with me in a minute. We're going to pray that prayer, and I want you to pray it to him. The other thing I want you to do is if you've ever made a commitment to Christ and you have not been close to him, whatever the situation is, and there's lots of them that pulled you away, and right now you're dry, you're hungry, and you're just not full. Jesus wants you to reconnect with him this morning as well. And so we're going to give you that opportunity. How many here need a touch from God physically, healing-wise? Just put your hand up. There's a lot of people. Balcony. I'm going to pray that God will just touch you and minister to you. We're going to pray for families. I don't want you to raise your hand if you're having situations, finances. But I want you to receive these things. I want you to receive these things. So I'm going to have Lem just lead us in a worship. I want you to just kind of get in that kind of place where you can receive, and then I'll pray.